So everybody wants to know what's going on with Monday Night Raw. I'm sure you've asked that question. Because Monday Night Raw has been on the air for over 25 years. That's extraordinary. One of the reasons for our success, of course, is we change with the times. When the times need a changing, we do just that. We change with the times.
We haven't been doing a very good job for you lately. We haven't been doing the one thing that my father has always taught us to do, and that's listen to our audience. We've let middle managers air their petty grievances. We've been suffocating our superstars, and all of that is going to change, and it starts tonight. We're off to a fresh start.
The days of absentee management are over. As of now, the four of us will be taking back Monday Night Raw.
And that goes for SmackDown Live as well, because the four of us are personally responsible to ensuring that all of you have the best possible experience that there is.
Flying in the air, fool. That ain't no flying saucer. I'm shooting webs like worldwide. Manhattan all the way to Yonkers. When they say Brooklyn, stand up. You better just fix your posture. And every hero needs this theme song. So
who in here trying to?
You ain't got a chance, boy. What you think? I'm doing everything but the kitchen sink. I try to be feeling in the neighborhood. I know all of the grannies wanna sip their tea. And here you come all barging in, all ugly like a brown fur cardigan. We can skip that monologue and arguing. I'm like,
who in here trying to start a brand?
Live from the landing strip is the 315th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
This is Arnold.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you're watching us live, go ahead and log into your YouTube or Google account now. That way you could chat along with us in the live chat. I'll have you pulled up. Thanks, Arnold. I'll have y'all pulled up right here on the old handy-dandy smartphone. YouTube! And you could, you know, talk shit, ask us questions, just say hi, fact-check us, whatever. I'll see it, and I'll kind of involve you as best as I can in the show.
I feel like I'm way shorter than everybody today.
I think you're in a different chair than normal.
Right? It's like, no. I feel lower. You just shrunk.
I think that's what it is.
That's what it is. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter @HWrestlingRadio. So, yeah. Check us out there. Oh, interesting programming note. Next Wednesday is the Wednesday in between New Year's and Christmas.
What do we normally do between those years?
We normally take a week off.
But...
We can't do that because of the way the scheduling worked out, where we won't have another day where we could do our year in review episode. So instead, we're not going to have a regular HWR. It's not going to be HWR number 316. It will actually be
316.
It will actually be our year in review episode. So tune in next Wednesday for our year in review.
Shit. So that way in two weeks, we'll have it on tape. Yeah. HWR number 316, you're drinking beers with us. At least one.
No, I'm not.
There you are. Just one. Just one.
Even if it's a root beer.
No, I'm not.
Even if it's a root beer.
Oh, root beer, fine.
So, yeah. So, the year-end episodes don't count as episodes.
No.
Right.
They're special.
They're numbered for their own thing. They're cool. Specials, quote, unquote. These Pringles are making me thirsty.
The Elite.
The first thing that popped into your head after the McMahon promo on Raw.
After. Man, they are really trying hard to erase the last month.
Just month?
They're really trying hard to release the last half year.
My first thought was they're doing the exact opposite of what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. They took two steps back.
Oh?
Yep. I don't, like, throwing the McMahons, all of them, onto the stage to say, oh, we're in charge now, isn't going to fix things. Isn't going to get my attention and be like, oh, boy, I'm glad I get to see Shane, Steph, Vince, and Triple H cut a 20-minute promo at the beginning of Raw every week. Like, no, man, that's our ratings suck. This obviously has to be because of the authority figure role. No, man, that's going to make it suck even worse. And instead of it sucking once, it's sucking four times on two different shows because now all four of them are in charge of Raw and SmackDown. It's like, no, man, no.
I don't know, man. I kind of like it. I like the all hands on deck approach. I like the taking out some of the things that we don't like. They know we don't like. Like, one of our biggest gripes here, the rematch clause, dead.
Okay. I agree. The rematch clause is something that has needed to have gone away, and that is a positive.
Mm-hmm. Just like, and just telling us, like, we're not stupid. We've been hearing you. We've been trying to go things our way, but our way's not working. So, you know what? This is kind of, like, you know what? This is on you now. Like, if our ratings suck, it's your fault. It's them washing their hands a little bit. But it's also like, you know what? Maybe they're playing us, but it does feel like, okay, you know, hear us. You know, let's hear what you want. But at the same time, if we really fantasy booked everything, we wouldn't be happy.
Good.
What do you think, Christoph?
I can admire them actually pointing it out.
I only want him to talk so I can eat more Pringles.
I've seen nothing but negative reaction online about this. So the first thing I want to say, I understand where they're coming from. Rome is not built in a day.
No.
Venice gets flooded in a day, but Rome is not built in a day. The positives, you just mentioned it. That's one. No more rematch clauses. They emphasized that on Raw, right?
Yeah.
And then they did it again on SmackDown.
They said it on both shows, yeah.
They're bringing new faces. But it's not just the five that they announced on Raw. Mustafa Ali is officially on SmackDown.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We finally got a returning or re-emerging or, hey, lost and found and now found again. Sanity.
Yes.
We brought back Anderson and Gallows. You know?
NXT call-ups.
People can complain about the match if they want. I fell asleep because it was a long day. But you're telling me you're going to end the last 45 minutes of Raw with a woman's gauntlet match for number one contender? That's a positive. That's not a negative. Okay. I was just tired. And Travis's couch is very comfortable. Every other Raw that I'm over there, I sleep on that thing.
And then the other Raws, you actually get to sleep in his bed, right?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. That's the damn cat. But there's a couple of negatives that I doubt they're ever going to fix.
Which is?
Number one, as of right now, they still don't have a permanent 24-hour full-time Universal Champion.
Yes. Ronda brought that up. Sort of by saying the champion should show up on Raw the next day and challenge, mm-hmm. but it should be here.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think the biggest elephant in the room is that Raw is still going to be 3 hours.
Yeah,
because it lost its steam towards the end.
Oh yeah,
but that's a negative that you can fix. You can kill two negatives with one positive, and I'm bringing this up with the call-ups.
All right.
To a casual audience, who in the flying fuck are those five fucks that are on my fucking TV? Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Raw starts at 8, 7 Central. Our time, 7 Central.
Yeah. Right.
7 to 8 needs to be NXT. The casual audience has no idea who any of these people that we're bringing up are. So you have to show us who they are. You have to give them meaning. You have to redefine them, basically, for the new people that don't know who any of these people are. We, for the most part, love Lacey Evans.
Right.
I don't, but y'all do.
I'm not sold completely on her, but I like her.
I think she's an antiquated character, and she's, I mean, I guess where she could, I see what
she's
going to
be. She's going to be Donald Trump's favorite female wrestler.
Exactly. That's why I know she got.
She has her. She has a spot. She has a role to be filled on one of those programs.
Does that have Culture Light?
The general audience has no idea who it is because the general audience doesn't have the network. The general audience already thinks 5 hours of wrestling is too much, let alone another hour of NXT. Same thing with EC3. Same thing with Heavy Machinery. Raw has to be 2 hours. NXT is the first hour. Raw are the last 2 hours so that you can redefine these characters to see where they are. Otherwise, we're going to be in the same hole as we were last year. We brought in Samoa Joe. We brought in Shinsuke Nakamura. We brought in all these other
glorious
girls. And what they do?
Whoop.
Exactly. In the hardcore fans' eyes, what did they do?
Whoop.
Exactly. So we're going to add more negatives to try to fix this. You need to see what the real problem is. It's not just on the surface. You got to dig to the bedrock. Mm-hmm. You need to go to the very core and figure out how you can stop the domino effect from happening. You can always stop it in the middle, but then you just go like this and it falls all over again. You got to stop it from the very beginning. And I think they can do themselves more good than harm by trimming down Raw back to 2 hours and having that first hour be NXT, Cruiserweight Division, guys that we need that you need to train the casual audience. You still haven't trained the casual audience that Raw starts at 7.
No.
So it's a lot of work that they got to do.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to put NXT at that 7 o'clock hour, it would give NXT a little bit more exposure. But would it ruin NXT?
Yes.
If it's kept the way it is. I'm not saying the NXT has to be like 205 in front of that same audience of Raw, in front of that same audience of SmackDown.
Because remember, they still tape NXT like a month in advance.
They tape 4 episodes a day.
So they can't fucking... They can't fuck with the storylines that much.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would like to see, if we're in control, because that's what they said.
Yeah.
It's like Taboo Tuesday or every Monday.
If you're not going to do the NXT thing, that's fine. The last time that I legitimately thought Raw was interesting was when their NXT champion invaded and beat the fuck out of John Cena.
Okay.
Why not? Oh, yeah. Why not have the WWE UK champion defend the belt on a Raw?
He's fought on a Raw, but not defended a belt. He fought, but it was in London.
That was in London, yeah. So that wasn't consistent. Why not have some NXT guys show up to show, oh, shit, those NXT guys, I need to keep an eye on what's going on in NXT.
Yeah.
You know, keep it unpredictable. Tyler Breeze on NXT was unpredictable. Game changing. Tyler Breeze on Raw? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
All right. I know that you have a lot of nice ideas, and I'm not invalidating them, okay? But.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
There's always buts.
I think that. You're right about getting back down to the core and the foundation. The core and the foundation of wrestling, especially if you want to impress the casuals, is that you have to have a star or maybe two that your grandma knows who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandma knew who Hulk Hogan was back then. My grandma knew who The Rock and Stone Cold were. Now, I mean, you know, my grandma's gone and passed, but you know, I imagine other people's grandmas know who John Cena is.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody like that right now. Now, the it problem.
Was Roman.
Maybe. Ooh. He was on the cusp. Your abuelita doesn't know who Roman is.
You know who's on the cusp?
Who?
The Miz. Because your abuelita might have walked by a Walgreens or a CVS and saw that red box with the Miz's video every other month.
Maybe.
He's the closest thing right now. Without John Cena. He's the closest thing right now.
And then watch The Real World in the 90s, the late 90s, know who The Miz is.
The problem is you don't have anybody that you've built. Yeah. Now, the problem with creating your next John Cena is, one, it's hard. And two, the reason why John Cena is such a lightning rod and a polarizing character is because all the hardcore fans hate the guy.
Yeah.
You haven't made anybody in damn near a decade, or maybe even 2 or 3 decades, that has been somebody everybody loves. Everybody.
You have to refocus that, because WWE didn't make John Cena.
I know.
John Cena made himself.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And then he became the rapper.
Yeah.
WWE did not make Stone Cold Steve Austin. WWE made the fucking ringmaster.
I understand.
So it's not about WWE picking. It's not about WWE picking someone. It's about somebody breaking out of their fucking shell and WWE not hindering them. You got guys like Zack Ryder getting themselves over. What did WWE do?
Word. Hold on to your britches, because that's exactly what I was going to get to. You said something very, very specific in there. Not letting WWE hinder them. WWE has been hindering all these other people because they've been hell-bent on making their next star be Roman Reigns. They've fed so many people to Roman because it was the same thing where they were feeding so many people to Cena. It fortunately somewhat worked out for Cena if you overlook the fact that hardcore fans hate him, right? Yes. If you overlook that fact and you just say, well, they feel passionately, and as long as somebody feels passionately, it's okay. If you use that bullshit excuse.
And even then, by towards the end, they started coming around because they saw Roman
true,
was a new guy.
True. But what I'm trying to say is WWE has gotten in their own way so many times when you had guys like Punk, when you had guys like Bryan that were, and now even guys like AJ, and even to a more egregious extent, Nakamura.
Rusev.
All these guys that people really want to get behind. And WWE doesn't allow them to get behind. The person right now that they could turn into that mainstream crossover character is Becky fucking Lynch. Becky Lynch could be the new face of the company. Becky Lynch can be that Rock, that Stone Cold, that Hogan, that Austin, that HBK, whatever. If they push this correctly and if they allow her to be her and allow her to be the same Becky Lynch that she was on SmackDown, you might have something there.
Talk about that promo.
That promo was straight fire. And there was something very interesting about that promo. This was the first time that Becky pretty much was cut a face promo.
Yeah.
She acted as though she was a face, but she still had that same chutzpah, that passion. She had the cojones, the balls, whatever it was that you like to call it. That
ovaries.
That Stone Cold had when Stone Cold went from heel to babyface. Even though we were cheering him as a babyface, we still loved him because he never lost that fucking fire.
Becky didn't have to go through that low of being booed for a little while. Like Ziggler, everyone hated Ziggler, but we ended up loving him because he was such a good heel that we cheered for him. Punk, such a good heel. We loved cheering for him. Stone Cold, The Rock.
Yeah.
Dude, everyone hated The Rock when he was in The Nation. And then when he joined the corporation, all that shit. But it developed. Yeah, and I always said this about wrestlers. You have to be a face. Well, you don't have to be a face. But you have to be a heel long enough to where you heal, you're cool. Becky went from face to cool heel immediately.
Right.
And now she's almost, that's a hero.
Yeah.
That's a hero. Because your hero is Ronda Rousey.
And you have WWE has to allow her to be that and stay in that role and be comfortable and go.
They because need Charlotte to fuck away from her.
Because they did not allow that to happen with Dean Ambrose, with Roman Reigns,
with Seth Rollins,
all these guys that were heels, that were the cool heels that we like, especially the Shield members. When they turn face, what do we have? Suffering succotash. What do we have? A mustard or a hot dog cart with mustard. What do we have? Oh, I'm going to get vaccines because you guys are icky. Yeah. Like, none of that shit works because when they turn babyface, WWE likes to make them goofy. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're on the cusp of doing that with The Miz. The Miz. Oh, man, everyone finally fucking loves The Miz. He's badass. He has this fire. And now he's like in this quasi supposed to be homophobic kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink relationship with Shane. And it's dumb. It's dumb. And it's kind of burying The Miz. Is The Miz trying to make chicken shit or chicken salad out of chicken shit? He's trying.
Devil's advocate.
But the storyline isn't there.
We'll jump into The Miz.
Okay.
Devil's advocate. Whenever you're on camera, it's been happening for almost 20 years. Whenever you're on the camera at the same time as Vince McMahon, you're a big fucking deal.
Yes.
Right?
So when The Miz is backstage with Vince McMahon, you might not like it.
Yeah.
But he's a big fucking deal.
Yep.
He just Naomi, Asuka, Charlotte, Becky on Tuesday.
Just ascended.
Corbin. You got to add Corbin in there.
Corbin. Again, I've been a fan of the new Baron Corbin. He's come out more on camera. Mm-hmm. The overusage of his authoritarian figure is what killed
it.
It's the book.
Yes, the book. Exactly. And again, if you want to go branch out a little bit.
WWE gets in their own way.
it again, yeah, like you said, branching out a little lower. Baron Corbin's starting to break that low glass ceiling that everybody pegged him at, but now WWE's like, nah, we're going to just book you like shit.
Yeah. They pegged him to be the scapegoat for all of this. Oh, well, the ratings are bad because of Baron, which isn't really doing Baron any favors, but you need to have a scapegoat. The scapegoat, because you can't just say we suck. No, it was that guy's fault, you know.
For example, I loved his performance in TLC.
Okay.
He fucking sold the entire segment. It helped that Heath was on there, like took off the freaking like referee uniform, and everybody came in and got their finally gave them their comeuppance.
Yeah.
What do you think?
About what particularly right now?
TLC match with Corbin and Braun.
I thought it was very like interesting because I honestly thought Braun wasn't going to be there. Like I stayed away from Dirt Sheet. I haven't been on Dirt Sheet in months, and I haven't been off of What Culture for a couple of weeks just because I want to be entertained. I don't want to be spoiled anymore.
Right.
So I like little, you know, top 10 lists and shit like that. But like news with the Z, I'm kind of trying to steer away from, like, on purpose.
Yeah.
Stuff that comes out, it comes out. You know what I mean? Like the All Elite Wrestling stuff. Ringside News is all over my goddamn feed. Whether the shit they say is true or not, it's all over my feed. But so I didn't want to know anybody of this stuff if Strowman was going to show up and this and that. So whenever they played his music and he came out, I was like, oh, wow. That shocked me. Cool. He's actually out. And then had the sling, but as he had the sling, I realized it, and then he said it. It's no holds barred. Mm-hmm. Everybody can come whoop your ass now. Everybody who you've wronged can come wrong you.
All right.
And it was the perfect, like, stabbing Caesar.
Yeah.
Everybody just stabbed Caesar.
Right. I got a complaint about that, though. Sure. All right. God, I hate to be
before you start going.
Radies. Okay, go.
Dude, Braun came out on that sling. I'm thinking
he's going to whoop his ass with one hand.
One arm, bro. I can still rape a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Go.
All right. My complaint about it is this. We're trying to make Corbin the scapegoat. We're trying to say that he is the heel. But what happens? He's the one who was wrongfully treated. He was the one who got screwed over. All the formulations that they did was that they had a bunch of people jump him, heel move. And then it screwed him out of a match, heel move. So now he is fired, quote-unquote, heel move. And so he comes out the next night to complain to the authority figures, and the authority figures say, no, sorry, Charlie, heel move. Oh, but you know what? We'll give you a shot. Okay, right now, heel move against this guy, heel move. Oh, and this guy, heel move. Oh, and it's a no holds barred. Heel move. Like, everything that they were doing was, like, to him was all the heel stuff, which should be making him look like the baby face, but the only reason why is because we don't like him.
He was the one doing that previously.
Yeah, so it's like, it establishes the authority, the new authority, the four fucking McMahon family, to be dicks. When they're trying to be the heroes and the saviors, instead of being fair and just and be like, no, we're just going to kick you out because you suck. We're going to, like, stick it to you and be, you know, heels about it. It's like, you're not any different than what he was. I don't trust you to run Raw any different than that authority figure did. I'm still bored.
But that's more storyline comeuppance. You know, that's more of, like,
you could still have done the comeuppance without being
a
dick.
And McMahon was saying, well, apparently all these people don't like you, so we're not going
to
like you
either. Plenty of storyline reason to just say adios, see you later. They didn't have to put him through this whole ringer of everything. They could have just had a match with Kurt Angle and that's it, and have Kurt Angle whoop his ass legitimately.
Yeah, but I think more people were happy with the outcome.
Yeah.
I was one of
the majority.
Yeah.
Casuals.
I was one of those people that was like, yeah, that's cool. He adds it. You get what you deserve. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's all good.
Daniel, what's up, man?
Daniel.
I see you in the live chat. Thank you so much for joining us. He's been saying quite a bit of stuff here, but I'll just drop down to the last one. That diminished the seriousness of TLC matches and just adds more fuel to the dumpster fire of gimmick matches looking hokey as hell.
I think Becky and Charlotte brought that all right back to where they belong.
You want to talk about that match? Asuka.
Match of the week candidate. The ladder match.
Match of the week candidate.
Well, no, wait. Shut the fuck up, Leo.
I know.
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Tell them. Give us a week.
You said this was going to be on our match of the year list.
Yeah. And there's a chance that it could still be for me.
No.
But this week was so chock full of good matches that it almost... I wouldn't want to say went under the radar because it doesn't. It was the main attraction. Boy, you had Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose get booed because they just wanted everybody to shut her the fuck up so we could watch the girls. As much as I hate that, I love it. As much as I hate it, I love it because, one, that's disrespectful to Rollins and Ambrose. But, two, that tells you that much about how good, how much of a fucking home run they hit with this storyline with Becky and Charlotte and Asuka. And even Asuka. Asuka was sprinkled in. She was like salt bait in there. So
I'll just be there like
The match was great. The fucking the spots, the aggression from Asuka.
No, Becky turning Charlotte into a fucking whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Charlotte's boobs to go.
Yeah, yeah. Becky just fucking annihilated Charlotte. Charlotte had her thing. They went on, did the spots. The end was even the thing about the end is. I went to go get food after...
God damn it.
God damn it. Just starve yourself until 10.
I went... Fuck that. I went to go get food...
You're already fat as it is.
After the Ronda match.
Okay.
So in between that, I guess...
Went to that 45-minute Taco Bell for 2 tacos?
No. Yes!
Dickless!
No. I went to Jack in the Box. But I was only...
For 2 tacos.
I was only there for 10 minutes. I was fine. But I guess... I'm guessing in that mix, I missed... Ronda getting punched by Becky. I didn't see that.
Nia got punched by Becky in the locker room.
So Ronda didn't? Nothing happened with Ronda?
No. Becky was... Nia was walking after the match backstage and Becky was like...
All dejected.
Yeah, uh-huh. I was like, hey, I heard you been talking shit. Bam! Knocked her the fuck out. I was like, here, keep my name out your fucking mouth, Porky.
Oh, okay. In that case...
Boom!
So now I'm rewinding it again. So then that means no. That was fine. So when Ronda came out, I was like, why the fuck is Ronda coming out? She's on fucking Raw. And I was like, oh, I guess the whole Becky talking shit to her and Charlotte whooping her ass. Still did not like the Ronda came out. But when after it happened and Asuka won, one of y'all called it last week. Can't remember who. But said that was the safest way for it to happen. And that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Asuka comes out. Everyone cheered. No one booed that Becky lost.
Right. No one booed.
No one booed. I was ecstatic. Because everyone's been wanting Asuka to be Asuka since she came out.
From the moment that she came out for that match and Corey Graves said, yeah, these last couple of months, Asuka's been looking like the Asuka from NXT. I was like, yeah, she's winning this. Because they're doing their damnedest to build her up back to us that have been invested from the beginning. That, we're starting this again. I'm ready. Let's go. Put the lap bar down.
And what do you do? Drive. You double down on that and give me another match of the week candidate. Asuka versus Naomi on SmackDown. Yeah. Boy, that match was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That match was fucking awesome. And they always been the most underrated woman on that roster.
Yes, I agree.
She's so good in the ring. And she was good in the ring when it wasn't cool to be good in the ring.
Yeah.
She was a fucking dactyl when she was good in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Hector, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
We'll
get to
New Japan in a little while.
He says... news with a Z, Vince was not happy about the Dean versus Rollins match.
He was furious.
He was furious? Why was he furious?
It didn't. The thing about their feud was it was a blood feud. It was a hate feud. It wasn't a wrestling feud.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a bigger problem. We mentioned it last week.
What?
This.
Oh, where they were focusing on other stuff.
1 week, Seth focused on the ratings and fucking Dean focused on getting mumps, measles shots.
Yeah.
It was never a clear cut.
Yeah.
That
1 week was all it took. I don't think it was the crowd's like, okay, we're ready for the girls. Hurry the fuck up. No, it was, you know what? This sucks.
Yeah. I checked out of that match.
I didn't even watch it.
I watched it. But halfway through, I was like, dude, this is a long... It was 22 minutes.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake from TLC, plain and simple. Why in the blue fuck did we get the mixed match challenge on the main show instead of the pre-show?
What was on the pre-show?
The
ladder match between Elias and Bobby Lashley.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Which, you know what? Something pissed me off about that match.
What?
They specifically said on SmackDown before that when you retrieve the guitar, you can use it. That's not the end of the match. Well, Elias got the guitar, and that was the end of the match, and he didn't seem like he intended to use it.
What? Really?
Yeah, it was like, oh, ding, ding, ding,
Lashley actually ended that segment knocking out Elias.
Yeah, he wound up getting the guitar and hitting
him. I did not know that.
Yeah,
I didn't watch the show, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And Cedric Murphy 3 was on the pre-show. Oh,
yeah. I missed that, man.
You could have cut 10 minutes from Dean and Seth.
And give
you could have cut maybe 4 minutes from D-Bry AJ.
Nah, don't touch that fucking
Wait,
match.
We'll get there.
Don't touch that
You
could have
cut about 3 or 4 minutes of that, and you could have had that fucking Cruiserweight match on there. Or you could have just moved the fucking Mixed Match Challenge all together, and you could have just had that match.
No, Robert, welcome.
Why the fuck are... Oh, my God. I'm sick of this.
So Carmella and R-Truth are number 30 in each respective Royal Rumble.
Correct.
That's fine. You need to have that on the main card for people to care.
No. It was never on the main card for Raw and SmackDown.
It was
on Facebook. So that's not for me. The fact that WWE is like, oh, we need to have another first is the first time a pay-per-view match is on Facebook. Who the fuck cares? No. That shit should have been on the pre-show. They've aired the pre-shows on Facebook. That was a perfectly wasted segment. That could have been for something better. I would have rather wanted to watch Elias and Lashley's ladder match than that mixed tag.
I want this feud to be over.
As soon as that music played, I fast forwarded. I fast forwarded several matches.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see who won.
I didn't see mixed match. I didn't see it. The first match I saw, man, I can't believe I'm saying this, match of the week candidate. The tables match with Natty and Ruby fucking Riot.
That was a good match.
That was the match
that we said exactly.
You guys said
what was going to happen. The tables were going to be kind of obsolete until the nitty gritty. But
I was wrong. I will definitely eat.
Liv Morgan went through there like a fucking chips and slam. Liv Morgan, fucking
poor Liv. She's got the shit beat out of her this year, and she's still going.
She said, "I mean, she's going to be women's champion." That's the WWE loves paying.
She always gets the shit beat out of her when she's the one not wrestling.
But no, solid ass match.
Eliminate the threats one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it was good.
It was good. It was, and the right person won. Obviously, you got to have that feel good moment. But even if she didn't win, I would have been like, "Hey, Natty, put up a fight," because that match was damn.
Two out of three, I would have still gotten Natty. Natty got a win if she would have not won that match.
Yeah, it was way better than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah,
really solid as match. So first match that I saw. Good, because I've seen them wrestle and it was a good match before.
It was good.
It was a good match.
Was the finish. I'm glad. And this was the finish that we should have gotten in the first place instead of having to cash in.
Yeah, that's
and catching. It was still a good match.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the tag match?
The triple threat?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, dude. That was fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They bar New Day was like, no, Usos, you stay in your penitentiary. We ain't going to play that butt rapage this time. And then they found their way to weasel themselves in, and that's when everything started falling apart, and then the bar snuck away with a good quick one. That was good. It didn't feel like it went too long. It felt like everybody got over, and now I don't want the Usos or the New Day anywhere near the titles. Somebody's got to go to Raw.
Yes.
Somebody could go to NXT. Somebody's got to go.
I watched TLC the first hour the next morning. I started in the second hour. Mm. So the next morning, I was making coffee while I was watching that match. I didn't miss anything. I saw the occasional spots. But Gallows and Anderson said the perfect fucking promo for that.
I agree.
They was like, look, it's all it's been. We need somebody else to be out there here now. Mm-hmm. And Gallows and Anderson had a really good fucking match.
That's how Uso. I felt during the pay-per-view. That's mm-hmm. how I felt before the pay-per-view. I'm tired of these three. You say it was a fun match. I was checked out when it already started. Yeah. Like, I like triple threats. I like TLC. I like, you know, ladder matches.
Give me that. Yeah.
I don't know that particular match. It didn't tickle my pickle.
No. I get it. I was the same way.
Good.
I didn't hate it, but I was like, oh, it's
fucking. Yeah, I was like, all right, whatever.
I fast forwarded through the chairs match. Did anybody watch the chairs match?
Who was that?
Dean Ambrose. I mean, Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton.
I caught the last 5 minutes, and it was pretty fucking brutal. And I'm glad that Rey Mysterio just got out there with a roll up because I'm a Rey Mysterio guy, and I don't like Randy Orton. Okay.
So, any positive things to say about Dean and Seth? Anything?
I mean,
they took
out
the extra burn it downs from his intro from the last week on Seth. Oh, yeah. They added way too many burn it downs, like unnecessarily. Somebody was just hitting the burn it down button.
okay. BJ Hero.
Yeah. Okay. Lowly. Yes. low-key love the sirens in Dean Ambrose's intro.
Yeah.
At first I was like, oh, it's a one-off thing, but then they kept it going. I'm like, yeah, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
Yeah, but other than that, the match went on too long and blah.
What could be my match of the week pick from Ring of Honor? Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles.
Bryan Danielson versus AJ Styles. We finally got the match that I've been wanting to fucking see.
It only took three times.
But oh my fucking God. Let's story time again. Round of match finishes. I say, I'll be back in 10 minutes. I'm gonna go get some food.
God damn it.
What do you want? Okay, cool. She got her food. I got a sourdough jack. Fucking, we came back. I parked. As I was parking, the match starts, and I was like, oh, this is really good, man. I don't even want to get out of my car. But fucking, let me get inside. It's playing in the living room. I got in. I'm watching. Okay, cool. All right, I'll be right there. But the match will probably be like 10 minutes long. They've been kind of underselling this match. Burger was cold by the time I fucking got to it because I could not peel my eyes away from that screen. Those moves.
You didn't even go like this?
Yeah, no. No, well, I got new couches. No.
Oh, so you got the plastic on. You chilling for the next 6 months.
No food on the couches.
Yeah.
So I was like.
He doesn't want his couch looking like this.
So I was like, hold on. Let me look. Oh, my God. Those clotheslines they kept giving each other. The fucking, the forearms, the kicks, the moves, the reversals, the submissions, the false finishes. Just. Great fucking match. Well, I wrote it on Facebook. As soon as it ended, that was art. That was a fucking art. One gripe.
What's that?
I literally, huh? What? Oh, what? It's over. I missed the ending because I
heard the ref say it's time to go home, and then the thing just abruptly ended.
Oh, you heard the ref say that?
Mm-hmm. Really? I didn't hear that. Mm-hmm. So I legit look for something and did so. I don't know what the fuck I did, but it was literally blinking. You miss it.
Here,
what happened?
Here's what I like.
Roll up, right?
Yeah. Here's what I like the most. We've made the comparisons for the last couple of weeks. I think they're putting the jury on top. This is our Mankind.
Whom?
Daniel Bryan. Because you look at Mankind. He's not supposed to be winning. He's not supposed to be undefeated against The Undertaker. He's not supposed to be challenging Shawn Michaels for the title. He's not supposed to be beating up all these guys. But he's fucking threatening, and he'll beat the shit out of you one way or another. As a heel, all the stuff that the heels would miss on him, no. The yes kicks, the no kicks, and then that wind up for the last kick as a face, everybody ducked it. But now when you see him hit a face with it, and they sell it like AJ sold it. Like, dude, this is a different Daniel Bryan. He wasn't doing the surfboard anymore. He did the bow and arrow. He was doing the tree of woe and bending them from the back. Mm-hmm. He was grabbing. Dude, this was a different. This is a completely different character now, and I fucking love it.
A 180 from what we've got in the last, on and off, the past 6 years. Mm-hmm. This was more of like the Daniel Bryan that I fell in love with in 2011.
Okay.
Just really aggressive, really angry, and really stiff, but fluid at the same time.
There was a point in time when Del Rio had a face turn.
Yeah.
And he changed what he did in the ring a little bit.
That little.
And it was like, ooh, I all of a sudden like him in the ring.
I remember having this conversation with you.
This felt like the heel turn that D-Bry needed to bring something new to his actual in-ring style, which I already loved.
Yep.
With Del Rio, I didn't like him at all, and I was like, okay, I think he's okay. Here, I was like, I really like D-Bry, but now, oh boy, I really like D-Bry. This match, I'm leaning for it to be my match of the week pick, too. There's a couple other contenders, one of those being Naomi Asuka. And then another one we haven't talked about yet.
I have a ladder match that I've got a contender.
Yeah. But man, I want to say that this is my match of the week pick. But man, I don't know. We got more episodes to get to.
Yeah.
But I do want to bring up something in the live chat.
What happened in the live chat?
We were talking about the sirens.
It doesn't matter.
That's good shit. I think I peed a little.
Robert Medley says, I hate the sirens. They're more annoying than Scott Steiner's old theme.
No.
Hector says, oh. Hector says, all we need is for Dean to say, holla, if you hear me.
No, because his sirens were, wee, 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 wee. true.
It doesn't mean it's not annoying.
No, it does mean that it's not annoying. Because
you're wrong.
Scott Steiner's was a police siren. Dean Ambrose is that.
Like right now, if a bomb goes off in Pasadena,
blowhorn.
That's what you hear.
Yeah.
Chemical leak in Pasadena, that's what you hear.
Yeah. I guess Robert didn't grow up in Pasadena.
No, he doesn't smell. the only nitpick I have about the main event, and it isn't so much...
Wait a minute, what was
the girls?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
They need to have, they can wait. They need a lot more practice. And I noticed this a lot with the women. And no disrespect to the women, they did a great job on TLC.
They say, with all due respect.
Oh, they don't care anyway. I'm still an asshole. The girls, Natty and the Riot Squad, took for fucking ever to set up some of those tables.
Oh, God, yeah.
In the main event, the girls, some of them took for fucking ever to set up those fucking ladders.
I think the ref had to help.
Oh, my God. And once or twice, it's easy to let go if everything else is going good. But throughout the night, the spots with the women where they're setting stuff up and they couldn't lift, poor fucking Ruby Riott couldn't lift the fucking table up into the ring. Like, okay, they need more practice, or they need like fucking
more gimmick tables,
like vegetarian tables or like foam tables or like the lighter equivalent, you know, because avoid the hips and all that shit. It was too much, dude. And at a certain point during that main event, I started to slowly turn off. Like, let me do something else. Let me check my Facebook feed for 10 or 15 seconds.
For 10 or 15 seconds
while I feel like the spot's ready. Yeah. And I did that like 4 or 5 times towards the end because they were taking too long making the spots. But that's going to come again over time because they haven't had the history of doing this for that long. So hopefully, 2 years?
Maybe.
Because
it depends on how many ladder matches they have. They have one every fucking week.
Maybe if you get one or two more Money in the Bank ladder matches where there's enough girls to play with them, where they get comfortable with them. I remember watching the commercial for Total Divas where Lana's like trying to set up a ladder when she was training with Big Rye. Yeah. You know, do some of that on the side, you know, so that you'll feel more comfortable so you don't look like it's foreign to you when you're in the ring live and national television with the red light on in front of hundreds of people in the arena because one half of the arena is completely naked.
Hundreds
of people.
No disrespect. San Jose sold the fuck out.
San Jose.
Raw and SmackDown were dripping for people.
Yeah.
We have a dissenting opinion in the live chat.
Oh.
Daniel Price says this.
The new Daniel Price.
The new Daniel Price.
Sounds like he's going to be just as dumb as the old one.
Not dogging Styles or Bryan or their careers or their abilities, but it was hard to stay interested. It was so milquetoast.
He's racist. He's the guy that goes, racist. I don't mean to be racist, but I'm racist.
He's with all due respect, and I do mean with all due respect. Fuck you.
So remember, wait. You don't think that match could have been a little milquetoast?
No. Where? Huh? First of all, milquetoast gets a bad rap because milk and toast are fucking awesome.
Milk and toast are what are you doing?
What are you doing?
We're halfway through the goddamn show and you're adjusting the camera.
Hey, you shut your goddamn. So anyway, no, I don't think so. And I again, I've had this a couple times, but the matches that I believe to be my matches of the week candidates this week, if one or two of these succeeds, the specific ones, basically one or the other.
He got different glasses.
Yeah,
and everything.
Basically one or the other. I'm teetering. I'm fucking putting one on the list. So,
well, that ain't gonna happen because I know that all three of us aren't gonna agree on one.
Hey, there's like four matches that I didn't agree on, not one at all.
Well, yeah, but you don't count.
I'm just for show. I'm for the
just sit there and look pretty.
I'm for the gay guys.
Hey,
I'm trying to even say for the women. I mean, the gay guys.
Robert is here. So.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
You're looking for a bear.
More like an otter.
Yeah.
God damn it.
What would you say that I'm drinking here?
Yeah, what is this, Chris?
First one was IPA.
This is Dallas Blonde.
Dallas Blonde.
Dallas?
Yeah.
Debbie does
from
Dallas.
Deep Ellum. Deep Ellum's a Dallas brewery. And my branch manager knows that I'm never going to fucking willingly go to Dallas.
No one willingly
so they brought to Dallas. Me, so they brought me that for my
team. Why do you think Evermoon became a wrestler? She just wanted to get out of Dallas.
Once they knocked down the sportatorium, there was no point.
Novelty match of the week candidate.
All right.
Eight woman gauntlet match.
Wait, rewind. Since we're on the topic, the other match that's vying for top contender for match of the week pick Ladder match. Ladder war from Ring of Honor. Briscoe's SoCal Uncensored, Young Bucks. Whoo, shit.
So you watched it.
I watched half of Ring of Honor, and I was going in and out. I tried watching it a couple of times, but that ladder match
that was the send-off for the Young Bucks, Elite. They're all done with ROH.
Oh. The only one that stuck around is Marty Scurll, so he came up with Villain Enterprises. He's Enterprises. Starting to break out his own little group, PCO, some other dude. But but again, it's gonna take time.
Right,
it's gonna take time. So, but I might be sticking my head out a little bit more for D-Bry and AJ, but I'm still not sure yet.
Robert says, I do love me some Lids Bros, you know, because you work at Lids, remember? Yes. But you don't.
I have another match of the week candidate.
You're talking about the girls. The gauntlet match.
The girls. Yeah, match of the candidate. Yeah, the girls brought it. Bailey, fuck. It was like a rejuvenated Bailey.
Bailey did bring it.
Bailey was fucking badass this week. It's like, we got NXT Bailey for a day.
Yeah.
Of bringing it. But I do love that she faced three girls, right? Or two. I think maybe three.
It was Mickey. Who'd she start off with?
Alicia,
Mickey. Then Mickey, then.
No, Mickey beat her. So it was Alicia, Dana, then Mickey.
Dana, then Mickey, yeah.
Both Alicia and Dana made it a thing to mess with her hair for some reason.
Yeah.
And that kept pissing her off.
Yeah.
So we were getting Mad Bailey, and Mad Bailey is what we love.
Constipated Bailey.
Yeah, she knocked the shit out of both of them. And don't touch the hair.
That's another example of. Rome isn't built in a day. Bailey against the Riot Squad. That's going to be fresh. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Bailey against.
But that's when.
It's been a while.
They like spray painted her or something. They put an R on her back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they dropped that shit because I forgot how it ended.
That's when Sasha came back in the mix with her.
They went to therapy and shit.
I remember we kind of had this problem maybe like 2 or 3 years ago when we were trying to talk about a gauntlet match that had
Seth.
Cesaro and someone in it.
It was Daniel Bryan against Jack Swagger, Cesaro, and then Ryback or something like
that. I remember Swagger was involved there. And but you the, wanted the to, one with Cesaro versus somebody.
You wanted to make that match of the year candidate.
Yeah, but it was like, do we count the entire gauntlet or we just count the matches in the gauntlet?
We had this too with one earlier this year with Seth.
Seth the first lasted, 2 hours of Raw, Seth lasted that whole first hour.
Seth lasted hour and like 15 or 20 minutes into fucking Raw.
And I don't know how I want to classify this match too, because again, the same problem. Do you do the whole goddamn gauntlet or do you pick and choose your segments?
Yeah, and like I said, for novelty purposes only, I just wanted to give this like an honorable, like shout out basically.
Okay, I'm fine with that if you're fine with that, because I don't feel too passionately about it, other than the fact that I was sports entertained for all eight
the whole
of those
time,
women.
Dude. Ember was fucking rocking it.
You know what? I was really happy about
Dana didn't look half bad either.
Dana didn't look bad at all.
I was extremely happy that we did not see Bailey versus Sasha at the very end.
At all,
I did not want that to happen because I felt like that would have been too predictable. WWE,
it's going
to
happen.
They're saving it.
I mean, maybe
call it Mania.
I don't know.
I'll second that.
But like, it would have just been too much. Like, come on, really? That's where you're going to go? Like, it would have been too obvious. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't do it because it wasn't obvious.
Yeah. So we're gonna get Natty versus.
Yo, we're doing a show here.
Her best friend apparently fucked the four horsewomen. Yeah. Ronda next week. I'll fast forward to that match. It's fine. I don't want to see that match.
Yeah,
I don't.
You don't have to watch it. It already happened.
Oh, yeah, it already happened. When did they film it?
Afterwards. They're in California, so they're 2 hours difference. So they filmed an extra hour and 10 minutes of wrestling.
They
and
have a bunch of packages.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how much you love packages.
I love packages.
Hi.
What can Brown do for you? SmackDown.
Okay, so I like how they just threw that under the radar and nobody reacted to it, or I misheard. Is Paige the former general manager?
She has a new role. It hasn't been defined yet.
What the fuck?
An ill-defined role that we don't know what it is. So it's like, again, going back to this whole thing about they're trying to act like faces, the four McMahons, but what they did is a big fucking heel move.
Exactly.
While, maybe you could make an argument that Corbin was incompetent. You should have fired
him. He was a rock star at her job.
Yeah, like, why the
y'all fuck? Y'all are burying the lead? Really?
Yeah. You can get to the lead. Let me get mine out. Mine out is that That was the heel move, firing Paige from Paige. It was doing nothing but good stuff as kayfabe general manager.
Per se, they probably promoted her.
I don't think they promoted her. It sounds like they're demoting her, but just like wrapping it up in a nice little bow.
She gets clear to compete.
Either way, this whole thing with the McMahons, with them taking over because ratings suck, like it doesn't make sense from a fucking storyline standpoint when it was Raw that was suffering and not SmackDown.
Well,
it
just, if you saw a little bit of the fucking crowd whenever Jeff Hardy went down to the ground, their front row wasn't very front row-y.
All right, what's the lead I was burying?
When was the last time Vince fucking McMahon was on SmackDown?
That's the first thing I said. I was like, what the fuck on SmackDown?
It's been a while.
Yeah, they're taking this shit seriously. Naomi versus Asuka. Beautiful.
Oh, God. Gorgeous match. That match was fucking really, really, really good. If Naomi would have upset her, I would have been like, oh, man. Fuck, that was a good match. But I'm glad, you know, Asuka still won.
If Naomi would have upset her, this probably would be my match of the week.
I don't want that mixed tag match any challenge junk anywhere on my main show. So I fast forward to the Miz and Mandy against Truth and Carmella.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because it was a bit of a curveball.
It was a curveball. And the Miz and Mandy won.
Right.
And
you got to keep Truth and Carmella relevant at least until the Rumble.
Yeah. We saw Sanity come out. Mm-hmm. We talked about a little bit earlier.
Main event, AJ and Almas. Oh, no, AJ and Ali against Brian and
Match
Almas.
Of the week candidate for me.
That match
was fucking solid.
Yeah.
Mustafa Ali, he's here to stay. He's literally, officially.
How happy are we that he's here
fucking
on SmackDown?
Happy. He was my favorite cruiserweight. Too. What did I say last week? The best cruiserweight isn't even going for the belt. Mustafa Ali.
Uh-huh.
There's been something about him that I have not. He had that je ne sais quoi about him ever since.
Oh, beginning. I'll tell you. It's easy. Whenever I play Mortal Kombat, I love picking Sub Zero.
Yes.
So I've got no problem with Ali on the main roster. Okay. And apparently, they got big plans for him because he pinned the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
A guy that whooped his ass last week. We're going with this. Okay.
I'll tell you,
Mike. That is first E-Rep.
That champion. Maybe that is the Iron Sheik.
Oh, come on. No, I don't see Ali anywhere near the heavyweight title, but
he beat the heavyweight champion.
There's no chance in hell they're putting this belt on this guy anytime soon. That one. You stick him with Rusev, Nakamura. With Nakamura, mm-hmm. with Joe, with Hardy, with Mysterio, right. Orton in that mid card. He's gonna ride. Almas? Dude, Almas did good for himself too. It's great. Easy to look at fucking Ali because he's the fresh new car smell.
Yeah, no.
But dude, that Almas old Buick was looking good too,
Almas
man.
I wouldn't say Almas is an old Buick. He's just last year's model. You know, he's still pretty badass.
Almas is the fucking real deal too.
Oh, dude, relationship goals.
And Selena. Which news with the Z? Selena Vega got married last week.
Really?
To Aleister.
Aleister Black.
That's old. That's really? That's like 3 weeks old, I think.
I didn't know that.
A week or two ago, I think. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I did know that. I think Randy may have mentioned it.
Seeing like on Twitter them training together like a month ago, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's interesting. And bam! It's like, whoa, all right. Fuck it.
Well, because wasn't she dating Austin Aries before?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they broke up.
unless they live in Utah.
Yeah, or something.
My is free.
Who are you most looking forward to flourish on the main roster? Here are your choices.
Okay.
Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Lacey Evans. Heavy Machinery. EC3. Nikki Cross.
Maybe.
Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Oh, thank you for bringing that back.
Mustafa.
Yeah,
Mustafa.
Although, out of all the packages,
I miss Kevin Owens.
Me too. I did not realize how much I missed him.
I do miss him.
But out of all the packages, the one that got me the most excited was Sami Zayn. I forgot how happy he makes. Like, fucking Sami Zayn, hell yeah. As long as they keep him away from those stupid fucking like storylines that he went, you know, before.
Away from sisters.
Yeah.
Keep him away from the sisters.
Give me neurotic, give me angry Sami Zayn. Keep him that way, and that's fine.
I hope she replaces Corey at the announce table. But, Robert, who are you talking about? Who replaces Corey at the announce table? I wouldn't replace Corey with anybody. He's the best goddamn announcer we have.
He's starting to come across as a bit too annoying for me.
Fuck no. I'm double downing on Corey. His whole shtick during the D-Bry tag match, where he was just literally on Wikipedia looking up facts about, like, ecosystems and shit like that. Oh, but he was laughing. As they caught him on camera. Him and Otunga were laughing their asses off.
Here's the compromise. I understand how awesome Corey is because we've been gushing over him in NXT, but that goes back to the Corbin syndrome. Too much can be a bad thing. You need to keep him on one brand and leave him alone everywhere else. Him doing all these shows, he's starting to wear out on me a little.
He's not.
Because he's going to me, too overboard.
Dude, whenever he marked out for Mandy, she looked at me.
She looked at me.
She checked me out. Like, yeah. And the whole time, I'm like, dude, you're married. But yeah, oh my God. I think he's great.
Oh, Paige. That's who he meant. Oh. Paige replaced Corey.
No.
Hey guys, Paige here. Oh, I'm on commentary.
She's never gonna live that. She personally said she's never gonna live that down.
Goddamn. Corey needs to stick on SmackDown with the youth. I think Corey Graves does good with Byron Saxton to pick on and Tom Phillips to control traffic. That group on SmackDown is actually cohesive. I like it.
What I was gonna say is in these two nights, David Otunga did the best in two nights, and he did the whole time he was on the actual
panel
before he was on Raw.
That's a hot take.
Dude, he was really good these past 2 days. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to fucking
Add Booker for a couple weeks.
Yeah. No, sometimes you need to step away to realize, to work on your craft.
Okay.
Because remember, he was a fucking wrestler, what I mean? So you gotta ease into it.
So is Gorilla Monsoon.
Bobby Heenan.
That was my idea.
It was your idea.
So Taz gripe is you have to be a champion to be.
Taz.
All right, guys. 2019. They WWE said that they're listening to us. Who do you want pushed to the main event title scene?
Boom.
You? Fuck you. You can barely play bass.
Adam Cole, baby. He will be the bass of 2019. Market.
No.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
Because yes.
No. You know why? They did the perfect call by picking the people that they're picking from NXT to come up here.
Yeah, the ones nobody cares about.
Exactly. Fresh start.
That's what happened with the
NXT.
Nobody gave a goddamn about Elias.
And now a year. Not even a whole year of him with this heel stick, and look where he's at now. He's got an album on iTunes. He's got the fans singing for him. You know, he's like in main events on Raw.
Yeah. He wrestled John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He's
a lot better than he was in Elias Sampson in NXT.
Yeah, the Drifter. Yeah.
So, dude, bring up these guys. Bring up Derek Bateman with a chip on his shoulder. Bring up the woman's right. Bring up the fat asses that think they're a tag team. Go for it. NXT still needs to function. You take I don't want to go too overboard, but you take away Undisputed Era, those four guys from NXT, you have a gaping hole that you probably won't be able to fill
easily.
I'm going a step forward. And say you probably won't be able to fill it.
Yeah, you fill it with Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, and the Young Bucks.
No, well, there you go. I'm on board.
Easy. And then eventually
you could call him the Gun Club.
The NRA.
No.
The Gun Group.
EC3 versus Bobby Fish on NXT.
That was fun.
It was all right.
I liked it. It was okay. I turned to you, Chris, as we were watching it, and I said something. I don't mind EC3 as a face, but I would prefer him as a heel. This face run's kind of cool, but like it doesn't fit his character. It doesn't fit the one percenter shtick, you know. I kind of find it hard to cheer for a guy that like says, "Oh, I'm so good, so much better than you." Top 1%.
That's a character that's ready to be turned heel on Raw.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would like for him to continue putting on matches like he put on with Bobby Fish.
But, except the part where Bobby Fish almost cut his own head off in the ropes.
That's true. But Bobby Fish fucked that up.
Yeah.
Right? But
commentary could have easily said, man, EC3's been working on those Irish whips.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. Bupkis.
But
that was nasty.
Dude, one of the Usos almost lost his leg on the ropes. Did you see that?
I think that was planned.
Though. I don't think it was planned.
No. I mean, he put his rope in between the
two. Yeah, they're out of the title scenes. Who cares?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't need legs.
Anyway, I enjoyed the match, the in-ring work itself. It's just the heel face thing. And
they need to do with EC3 what they failed fucking miserably with Bobby Roode. Because Bobby Roode and EC3 and NXT have the same personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the same heel stick with EC3 that you did with the glorious Bobby Roode, and it would get over. Because EC3 on Impact was one of the best heels that roster had in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And he did the 1%.
And then when Bobby Roode went to the main roster, oh shit, Bobby Roode is going to make fun of all those fat asses and sweatpants that show up in front row with their mama's money. Nah, he straight up went babyface because of the theme song. No, EC3 needs to show up on the main roster as a fucking douchebag. Mm-hmm. That he left WWE when nobody wanted him, and now he's worth this much. Yep. He's the 1%. That means he's better than everybody. Be a better Ziggler than Ziggler, basically, because you can cut it in the ring.
All right, let's predict them. Where do they go?
Nikki Cross goes to SmackDown.
Of course.
To be with the rest of Sanity. Yeah. Lacey goes to Raw.
Lacey Evans will get over on Raw.
She'll get the fuck over on Raw.
Lars Sullivan, SmackDown. Because you've already got a monster on Raw. Eventually, So you want to save that like butt fuckery for Survivor Series when you got them again opposite on the teams. You don't want to waste Lars already. So I got Lars on SmackDown.
That makes a lot of sense.
Heavy Machinery
That Raw tag team title needs a fucking bolster.
Man, both tag team divisions need
a bolster.
Yeah, they do.
No, okay. SmackDown already has more tag teams.
It has more tag teams, but three of them are fucking stale AF.
Look at Raw.
New Day, Usos, and Bar.
Blech, I'm predicting I'm 2019 that the New Day are going to still be a group, but they're each going to be doing individual shit.
Yeah, I
hope so.
Which means we need another team on SmackDown.
Yeah, it's a single
It one. Sucks that Matt left, even though we've already gotten the Hardys run.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt should be coming back soon.
Yeah, but nah, he don't have nobody.
The Harper Brothers?
I think right now with the gimmick, I would stick Heavy Machinery on SmackDown.
Because of the gimmick.
Yeah. I would probably send somebody. I would put Heavy Machinery on SmackDown, send the Usos to Raw.
So EC3 on Raw?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you're trying to replace John Cena. Get Carbon Copy Fiesta brand John Cena.
Another thing with EC3, I wish, and this might be too much to ask, I wish that they wouldn't say that he's just EC3, but actually acknowledge the fact that he's Ethan Carter III, and have him show up and have the McMahons treat him the way they treated Bischoff, where, yeah, he's from the other, and he did a lot of stuff over there, but you know what? We respect you, you know? Like, eventually, there was a feud between the McMahons and Bischoff, and I'm like, but, like, if you keep rolling with the EC3, eventually somebody's going to ask, what does EC3 stand for? And you say Ethan Carter III. What does that mean?
Okay, one of my favorite bands is AFI.
Okay.
Casual person, doesn't know the names of Fire Inside.
Okay.
I used to be in a band called Band-Aids for Guns. We went by B4G. No one gave a fuck what B4G stood for after a while.
Okay.
You just P.O.D. What does it stand for?
Payable on Death.
Because you're a Christian rocker.
And has no taste in music.
None.
Or podcasts.
He would play that at the Ritz.
I have after Fozzy.
I bet you would.
I have before.
That new EP is solid as fuck, too.
Heard it yet.
The new AFI EP.
I've not heard it yet.
What about you?
What about me?
Do you agree with the picks, or do you have any reshuffling? I'll tell you this right now. No way in the beginning of 2019, up until maybe like August or September, there's no way we're getting Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Undisputed Era. The cornerstones of NXT right now, they're staying there until the end of 2019 at least.
I think Black comes up. I think Black loses the cage match, comes up, Royal Rumble. Or Johnny comes up, Royal Rumble.
No.
Remember, this NXT Phoenix, so it's going to be the Royal Rumble one.
Eventually, not right now, eventually you're going to have to separate Ciampa or Gargano.
Yeah.
Because at some point, the little seething rage inside of Gargano can only go so far until it becomes absurd. He's going to be chasing Ciampa until he's done chasing it. After that, no point in having them on the same show.
By SummerSlam, I do want there to be a big shining star in WWE that's currently in NXT that is also current and part of my one of my Match of the Week candidates. Ricochet versus Tyler Breeze. Fuck, that match was good. I read about this match weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Heard it was good. Thought it was on like a NXT Tampa type shit. You know what I mean? Like where they go, like a house show.
No. Love them some POD.
Then I heard when Tyler was the mystery opponent for Dean, they brought up that he was in NXT against Ricochet. They brought that up on Raw. So I was like, I wanted to watch this match. Yep. And I was like,
that's it.
All right, yep. Fuck it. But fucking working and adulting and shit, I still didn't watch it. I couldn't. So I got here early. I made it a point to get here a little bit early. Hey, stat that match on. Ah, we just finished watching it. You motherfuckers. So we watched it again because daddy always gets his way. Oh.
He thinks he's daddy.
No, I was talking about you.
Oh.
And, fucking. Anyway.
Come on, Weezy. Finish the story.
That match was fucking awesome, dude. I had so many badass little spots. Holy shit. This is gorgeous. It was a gorgeous match.
I thought AJ versus D-Bry was going to be my match of the week until I saw Naomi versus Asuka. And then I thought Naomi versus Asuka was going to be my match of the week until I saw Ricochet versus Tyler Breeze. Now I'm so confused. I don't know which of those three I want to actually pick. Those are my three contenders.
It's very telling the state of WWE right now because Raw reminded me what they do with up-and-coming talent with that match. Dean versus Tyler Breeze. NXT reminded me what they do with talent that they created. Mm-hmm. It was fucking night and day.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to add to the list, by the way, to rewind a little. I'm not seeing Velveteen Dream anywhere near the main roster till the end of next year.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised. Okay. Okay. I'm surprised he wasn't the one of the guys that was on that video, but I'm glad.
Yeah.
We've come back the last couple of weeks, and I've listed off all these people that came from NXT to Raw that have done bupkis.
But
so they're adding people that I'm not emotionally attached
could
to yet.
I think it'd be nice for the number two entrant in the Royal Rumble to be the Velveteen Dream with this badass little intro.
Okay.
I'm for it. Remember, last year they proved the point. Just because you're in the Rumble doesn't mean you got called up. Adam Cole was in the Royal Rumble last year. Nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
I cared. It was awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, he went back and caused a fucking badass scene in NXT where he belonged at the time.
Yeah.
Adamas was there. They got called up eventually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Shit, Bo Dallas was in one of the years.
Look at Bo Dallas now.
Bo knows.
Yeah, but I think the point that you mentioned in there was there was such huge difference between Dean versus Breeze and Ricochet versus Breeze. And god damn, like, I don't know if it's just presentation of like how this is happening, you know, or it's the fact that like NXT is just that much better. I mean, we have two almost identical matches with angles almost the identical same way. Hey, champions throwing out an open challenge. Who answers it? Tyler Breeze. And then they have a match. But and it happened the same on Raw and on NXT. Why the fuck do I care more on NXT than I do on Raw? I don't know. Am I being hypocritical just because, I think NXT is better and I like NXT? Mm-hmm. Is that what it really is?
It's telling. Half of our Match of the Year list is from NXT.
Okay.
So, I mean, you get 1 hour of NXT a week. So we get 5 hours so total on SmackDown.
What was so different about Breeze versus Dean versus Dean versus the other one on NXT?
Respect.
Okay.
Dean beat the living shit out of Tyler. Like, Tyler was insignificant. Tyler walked out to the ring, and Ricochet in the ring in the corner is clapping for Tyler Breeze before the match even fucking starts. Yeah.
Could it also be the entrance? We didn't have the Fandango remix. It was Tyler's, and the announcers are like, "Oh my god, he's back!"
There was never a point. There was never a point in the match that Tyler Breeze was going to beat Dean. There was at least two spots in that match where I was like, holy shit, Ricochet's about to lose his fucking belt out of hubris for wanting to do this fucking challenge.
Yeah.
All right. Hell, it would have made even more sense if somebody from Undisputed ever fucked it up for him just so that Ricochet could lose it. If I can't have the belt, you ain't having it, bitch.
Yeah.
And they could have further pushed out, man.
What do you think about Tyler Breeze now? Where does this put him?
I've been saying it for the last 9 months. It is not a demotion if you go to the brand that everybody still likes.
Okay.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And in years past, I'd have been like, you're stupid because you're just trying to be that guy. You know what I mean? You're trying to be edgy. No, that makes so much fucking sense. Some of these people, or remember, Cesaro had a fucking rejuvenation of a career by going to NXT.
And TJ was the same way until he died.
Ascension was tag champions for over a year.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be a demotion of the Ascension return to liven up the tag division on NXT?
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe it is, because if you're looking at this as like college versus, you know, the pros, Major Applewhite goes to fucking playing all of a sudden in fucking UT. Then it's like, oh my God, it's Major Applewhite. We're in the NFL. He won shit. Vince Young, dude. Same thing.
You work at Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase. The job sucks, but apparently it's supposed to pay more because everybody knows who you are. Nah, I'm going to go work at the credit union because I like going to my job and not worrying about calling in sick because I don't want to fucking be at my job. And I get respected at my new job. Boom. So it's not a demotion if you go to NXT where everybody's like, oh, dude, NXT.
You only work like once a fucking month.
And you get to play games with Brennan.
Yeah.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah. Now?
Play games with Brennan.
And you can see Dakota Kai, like, hey.
Hey, Dakota. She's like, oh, my God, Dakota Kai. Ah.
Dakota
Kai. Nobody saw NXT UK.
No. No,
nobody saw, oh, man. Match of the week candidate.
Otra.
TNA. I try watching TNA again.
I forget. It's the guy from LAX against Phoenix. They put on a fucking good match. Dude, that's a good appetizer for that tag match. In a homecoming that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
All right.
But other than that, that's everything we need to talk about.
Okay.
Fuck.
All Elite Wrestling, what do you think? The owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars is going to run it.
Is this the thing that, like, JR and Jericho were...
That was the rumor. They both vehemently deny it.
Yeah, but if you're in front of the camera, you're always...
You have to, yeah. But they did... copyright though, the All Elite Wrestling and some other shit like that under the address of the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium. Yeah.
So,
and they asked the Young Boys, "Oh no, we trademarked that a while back, but they used a whole different thing." So, news with the Z, it looks like it's about to go down.
Okay,
Young Bucks getting over on their own. Nah, okay, it happened. The Young Bucks trying to be more successful as an indie team. Nah, it's not going to happen. Then you see Bullet Club shit at Hot Topic selling out everywhere. Other wrestlers starting to get their own merchandise at Hot Topic. Oh, man. Suck. Ain't nobody going to go. Then 26 minutes later, it sells out 11,000, 12,000 seats. I was never that guy. Today, I'm being that guy. A promotion when there's so many already? That are vying for attention, promotions that are coming back up from obscurity, promotions from the ground up, Impact, MLW, promotions overseas, New Japan starting to trying to become one of the pillars of pro wrestling in the globe. And now you're gonna
NWA still struggling.
But hey, but they're not dying.
Yeah, they're not dead.
We've been talking about Impact dying for the last 8 years, and they're finally on the come up. So they could and NWA could be coming up too. And now you want to add another one? Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
You would have to do – it would have to be on network television for me to watch it every week. Because I'm not fishing for that shit.
You know what All Elite Wrestling to me is? The XFL. It's a cool alternative, but I'm not going to waste my time with it.
Okay.
It sucks because I want to – I mean – everybody wants the underdog. Everybody loves the other. I mean, this is why half of us like Bullet Club stuff, because it's different. You know what I mean?
It's not just because it's different.
It's good.
It's not just because it's good. We watch 7 hours at least of WWE programming every week.
Mm-hmm.
You guys probably watch one Bullet Club match a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to start watching Bullet Club every week?
Quality versus quantity.
And I'm the guy that's been traveling through a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know, man. I think that's...
Yeah, I honestly...
I love the ambition, but you're going to have to do something like Wrestling Society X style. As in something so different that you have to watch it just out of fucking curiosity.
Like Lucha Underground?
Like Lucha. That's the last time something was like, whoa, oh, that's different. Pro wrestling. That's sports entertainment. What the fuck is that? That's Lucha Underground. Four seasons later, it's still quality over quantity.
Lucha Underground has seasons, guys.
Exactly. And they got seasons.
And even then, motherfuckers like this motherfucker won't jump on board because there's too many episodes to catch up on.
That, and it's on like an obscure channel. Where is All Elite Wrestling going to be
on? Dude, you can watch it on Univision in Spanish.
And
I don't speak Spanish, motherfucker. I'm American.
You speak Spanish. You speak Spanish better than I do.
No hablo ingleso.
You just said I don't speak English, you dumbass.
See. That's how much I don't know Spanish.
Little tease for next week for the humanoids.
Oh, tease me, daddy.
Yeah.
Just
tap it.
Just the tip.
OMG announcement
of the
year.
It ain't that big.
OMG announcement of the year.
This entire year of pro wrestling, what is your, oh my God, announcement of the year?
Oh my God.
The announcement of All In is happening. And yeah.
Wow, you're picking All In.
Yeah. When they announced that, oh shit. And the proof was in the pudding because it sold out. Yes.
Roman Reigns having cancer.
Ooh, Roman Reigns having cancer. Okay.
That's not the number one. I don't know.
Daniel Bryan coming out of retirement when he wasn't going to wrestle anymore?
Yeah.
After 3 years? But that might be cancer. He had brain cancer.
No, he didn't.
He was going to die.
He had cancer.
He could have been wild to everybody.
I don't want to be that guy again.
Oh, dale.
But I'm going to be honest.
Speech of Chris, that guy.
Yeah, I'm not racist, but.
Oh, God.
I'm gonna throw you out of my house if you don't say something stupid.
This ain't your house.
I know.
WWE programmed me to not like Roman Reigns.
You're right.
Him being off of TV is something I wanted. Unfortunately, it was due to the circumstances he had.
Okay.
So that wasn't oh my God for me. Oh my God was me screaming during a transaction at a fucking bank when I saw on my phone that Daniel Bryan had cleared a wrestling.
I happened to be off and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But that close second isn't the announcement. It's the 26-minute selling out.
Okay.
Because, yeah. But, yeah.
Okay.
So
those are all three good picks.
I'm sure there are more. We've got some comments already showing up on our Facebook page. Next week, we're going to find out male wrestler, female wrestler of the year, tag team of the year, rising star. We're not going to be a bully.
Spoiler alert.
We're not doing disappointing star. We're just doing disappointment. Of the year in general.
Spoiler for you gender neutral people.
Ooh, that was close.
We
forgot to announcement of the year or moment, Jinder Mahal beating fucking Randy Orton for the goddamn title.
That was like 2 years ago.
No, that was this year.
No.
Oh no, that was last year.
Yeah. spoiler alert, my woman of the much like Caitlyn Jenner winning, the woman of the year.
Your woman of the year is Dakota Kai.
My woman of the year is a man.
The man. I get it. I thought you were going to say like fucking Pimpinella or something.
He doesn't even know who that is. He doesn't watch. I know Pimpy.
He knows Pimpy.
I know Pimpy because I'm triple A, CML, buddy.
Yeah. Event of the year.
I'm the hipster.
Event of the year, holy shit! Spot of the year.
It has to be.
And then match of the year.
Monday Night Raw in November 2018. Apparently, 45% full.
God damn! All right, so those are our things that we're gonna go over next week.
Next week,
and our match of the year,
our year end review special.
Oh my God. Yes.
What are the lists for the match of the year? Since
I was
wrong, and thanks to these guys, Asuka, Charlotte, and Becky did not make it.
You're blaming us?
Yep.
Fuck you.
10 matches.
Oh, fuck.
Jericho versus Omega.
I forgot what that happened.
Wrestle Kingdom 12. That's Gargano like versus Almas. Take over Philly. Golden Lovers against the Young Bucks from Strong Style Evolved. Gargano versus Ciampa, Unsanctioned from TakeOver New Orleans. Murphy versus Alexander from 205 Live. Omega versus Okada 4. 2 out of 3 falls, no time limit. Mil Muertes, Phoenix, Jeremiah Crane, 3-way to the grave.
That's what I have to figure out how to watch.
Okay.
You can just come back here towards the end of the evening. We'll figure out a couple matches. Cool. That's the only Lucha match.
Oh, okay, good.
Ciampa versus Black from NXT Television. Omega versus Ibushi from the G1 Climax, the semifinals. And then rounding out the 10, triple threat, Cody, Ibushi, Omega, Kings of Pro Wrestling. Those are our 10 matches. All in all,
we all have to agree on it.
6.5 hours.
No, we don't have to all agree on it. The way that we do this is you
point system.
You put them in order.
No, I meant to put them on the list.
Oh, to put them on the list. Yeah. Yes, yes.
I've only seen like 5 of them.
Well, you took half the fucking year off.
That's true.
At least I, unlike Dumb and Dumber over here, I had the decency to tell you fuckers I'm not coming for 5 weeks.
No.
Bitch!
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It happened.
So, the way that we do it normally is each one of us individually. Yeah. Okay.
It was your last year.
Yeah. Put them in order. Then you get the points.
So you need to make some time on Sunday so that we can watch the matches you don't have access to, which is like 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's like 2.
And we'll break in 2 or 3 extra ones for you.
Yeah. The only one that
I got more beer.
Bet. The only one I don't have access to is the
Mil Muertes. Yeah.
We'll figure out a way.
I'll just YouTube it.
Yeah.
I'll find you a link. Yeah. Or Daily Motion. It's
all Daily Motion. That's right.
So next Wednesday is going to be our 2018 end of the year spectacular.
Yeah. Post Christmas.
Yeah. That's it, man.
Year end review.
I have to go back and check. I always forget what I
put. Year in review.
Year in review.
I thought it was year end review.
No. We're reviewing the year. Year in review.
Year end review. What is it to you?
Yeah, whatever.
See you later.
We'll figure it out.
Goodbye,
look at what we did last year just so we can stay consistent. Just keep it the same. Yeah. All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. That was a little bit too hype there at the end.
A little for a guy that didn't have a drop of alcohol.
I didn't.
Every day is like a sticky situation when evil's looking for a chance. And I know we are the newest generation. We got the power in our hands. We're slinging through the trenches.
I'm coming through with my crew to make a play. I don't need no super suit, I'm feeling bad.
When I say Brooklyn, stand up. You better just fix your posture. And every hero needs this theme song. So
who in here trying to start a riot? Who in here trying to start a riot? Who in here trying to start a
You guys proud of yourselves? You're proud of the job that you're doing out here?
I felt like it was...
Oh, okay, yeah. So you guys come out here and you talk about the best tweet that a woman who calls herself the man put out this week. Don't you guys know that social media is a trap? You know, the amount of time anybody spends on social media is inversely proportional to the amount of deep thinking that they do about anything else, anything in life. How much deep thinking do you guys do? How much deep thinking do you do about the WWE? Let me tell you something. AJ Styles has done a ton of deep thinking about wrestling because he loves wrestling. You know who else has done a ton of deep thinking about wrestling? Daniel Bryan. And we've got two guys who've done a ton of deep thinking about professional wrestling. Not on social media, not talking about tweets or Instagrams or Facebooks or anything else. You've got two guys who have spent their whole lives getting in the ring and fighting other men. And you guys want to talk about tweets? You guys want to come in here and sell your Christmas t-shirts? It's garbage. What you guys do is garbage. But if you watch TLC tonight, what you're going to see in the WWE Championship match is you're going to see AJ Styles versus the new Daniel Bryan. You're going to see the phenomenal forearm versus the flying knee. You're going to see the calf crusher against the heel hook. And you're going to see the Styles clash against what used to be called the Yes Lock, but it's going back to its origins and it's being called the LaBelle Lock now because the Yes movement is dead. So here's the thing, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. I respect AJ Styles as a professional wrestler because he loves what we do in the ring. He spent his whole life fighting in the ring. But I do not respect AJ Styles as a person. And here's why. The exact same reason I don't respect these two. Look at what they're wearing. Look at what they're wearing right now. Do you know why they're wearing these shirts? To shill them. They're shilling them to you people. Why? So corporations can make more money. Do you want to know what one of the worst things for the planet is? Inorganic cotton. You think these are made out of organic cotton? Of course they're not. You know what AJ Styles does? He comes out to the ring every week wearing his shirt, wearing his gloves, and he may go out there and he may pour his heart out into wrestling, but he's also trying to get you to buy the gloves. He's getting you to buy the t-shirts. Guess what? The old Daniel Bryan, he used to care about that kind of stuff too. And he fought and he fought and he fought inside. And he's like, I shouldn't be selling these t-shirts, but that's a measure of success here in WWE. The higher ups are gonna look at how many t-shirts I sell, and that's gonna determine how successful they think I am. Well, guess what? The new Daniel Bryan doesn't care how many t-shirts they sell. They came out with a new shirt, said, Yes is dead. Do you think I'm wearing that shirt? No. All this stuff is secondhand. All this stuff is thrift. And you know why? Because I care about this planet. I care more than just being the WWE champion. But make no mistake about it. I need this championship to build my platform that consumerism needs to die. So AJ Styles, I am willing to throw everything at you tonight. Every single thing that can come into my mind, I will throw at you tonight. So you better be prepared. And after I beat you for the WWE Championship again, I am going to take this leather strap that was made from a skinned cow that I like to name Daisy. And I am going to replace it with something sustainable, something better. And the new Daniel Bryan is gonna create a new world that these people don't have any part of. You know what? Most of you probably don't deserve to have a part of it either.